Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Worth living in a Muslim majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that Kobe King stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
And we are here live. I believe we are on Facebook Live finally. I don't know if I got all this technology. I deserve some type of medal or something. Look, there. See? Smile. You got to move in a little bit, Rod. We can't see.
There we go.
We're trying this out tonight. We haven't been live on Facebook since Walter Hudson. And it's been a while, but we have in the house Rod Hardigan. Mm-hmm. I've been watching you for a long time on Facebook and just really glad and excited to have you joining the team. So welcome tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We are going to have Matt Brodsky. Is that how I say?
Yep.
Got it. He's going to be joining us tonight. We're going to have a wide variety of topics. Of course, we are a week away from the absolute most important election. The Democrats are running scared. I don't know if you saw Hilda Beast on TV tonight, but she...
It's my favorite nickname of hers.
I can't take it. But we're going to talk about, of course, we're a week away from the midterms, and I believe that we're going to have a lot to celebrate next Tuesday. I'm going to start out, I'm going to read from this because I did put together a little bit of a monologue. Minnesota, can we take the reins away from the dangerous empty suits? Since 2020, Minnesota has been locked up, masked up, schools closed, businesses closed, lost our elderly, lost our children's interaction in schools. Families forever divided, whether it was you were conservative, you were Trumpster, you weren't afraid of COVID, or you didn't take the jab. We lost our lives to draconianism, tyrannical rule. We won't get those days back. We can't get our family members we lost in nursing homes back. Many how many will even be welcomed to our families' homes again? You were told to stand 6 feet apart. Don't go to the fishing opener without anyone not related to you, and 20 feet apart on the water. No more than 10 people in your home. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember I actually threatened that I was going to tell my neighbors to all park in front of my house just to see if my relatives would report me? Our TVs were hijacked by flannel mouth jackass, Fauci and Scarf Queen. We all remember Scarfy, right? God, I miss those days.
Burks.
We were kidnapped society. Why do I remind us of all of these horrible, unthinkable days of tyranny? Because we are voting next Tuesday. And trust me, they did this once, they will do it again if allowed to stay in power. This is not just another election. If you remember how transfixed you were on COVID, we lost 2 years of our lives when Wall's team knew this was what it was, a flu. The best approach would have been keeping the elderly and the vulnerable protected and using the therapeutics and the antibiotics. But no, they knew the bigger plan. We didn't just stay in place to slow the curve. We lost our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. We break free of the COVID terrorization, right? Where are we now? Economy broken, energy independence no more, oil reserves diminishing, border wide open, gas, food, prices soaring. Energy blackouts predicted. I can't wait for that one. Utilities, heat and electricity through the roof. Education destroyed, test scores abominable. What the hell have these people been doing, destroying? Then we ask for answers. We actually are asking for answers right now in all of these campaigns. And what are we getting? The classic is flannel mouth Wells, non-existent at the podium at the debate with Jensen.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen something that despicable before. You want to run and be a governor in this beautiful state, but you don't show up and speak to the people. That's disgusting.
A state in crisis shows our leaders competency or incompetency. It's beyond incompetency. Let's go to the national, because we're going to talk about the national elections coming up. Well, let's see. Biden visited 54 states when he came into office. Gas was $5 a gallon, right? We have 54 states now, and gas was $5 a gallon. I remember exactly when Biden came in office. No, ass wagon. It was $2. We're going to answer this, and we're going to hold him for a second here. Matt, do we have you? I am going to bump up the volume. Let's see. Can you say something now again? Hold on a second. I'm just finishing my monologue, and then we're going to pick you up, Matt. So one second here. So, you know, Biden, he said that he visited 54 states when he came, and then he came into office and gas was $5 a gallon. He falls asleep on MSNBC interview while mumbling about doing great things. This is when he's being asked if he's going to run in 2024. He'd love to remind us how great the economy is, but he can only handle 5 seconds of rambling. This from the leader of the free world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe we should be asking why the hell Kamala's focus is on the yellow school bus, because that will save the price at the pump and at the grocery store. Wait, Speaker of the House will have the adult conversation, right? She at least won't creepy whisper, fall asleep, wander off stage, talk to dead people. No, she's too busy with her crayons and booze reconstructing her husband's reindeer games and underwear with his lover and hammer games. I mean, how do you make this stuff up?
I have no words. No words.
I turned the page too quickly. Excuse me, I got too a little excited there talking about Pelosi and her crayons and her booze. Who the hell are these people? Where is my God, my country, my leader? Hillary's phone smashed. Can't see the 14,000 trillion hours of January 6th, which, by the way, that's all that the Democrats want to talk about is January 6th, because that's all they have between that and abortion. FBI has no idea about that Las Vegas shooter, if we remember those days, but knows the home of knows the name of Pelosi's lover, and it's truly to blame on Trump, right? So, and then, of course, we have Hunter. So we are in quite a state of mess in this country, but we have the ability to turn this around. We have the ability to save the state of Minnesota, to save our country. And so, Matt, welcome to the program. Awesome. Where do we even begin? I'll direct it to you, Red.
So, who do you think, the lover of Nancy Pelosi is real? Or are they just, you know, spreading more of their nonsense? I think he, you know. Go ahead. Well, with every passing day, something new comes up, right? So you hear when the glass breaks, when you break into a home, glass doesn't go outwards, it goes inwards. You call him your friend while you're on the phone of 911. Now they're spinning that, you know, this was a code to the police. Like, oh, he was just a friend, you know, trying to play it up for more than it's worth. It's like, you know, admit it. I mean, like I told you, I'd be gay if I was married to her. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So they want this in place, otherwise. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's
Well, I just find it hilarious that the two times in the last, what, few months that we've heard of Paul Pelosi's name, he's both been hammered. So that's pretty funny.
you know, I was talking to Eric Mortensen earlier today, and you know, you're talking about morality and leadership. And for the 4 years, it was nothing but orange man, bad man, rapist, pervert. You know, there wasn't anything. And then, you know, a week before the election, Pelosi's husband and boyfriend running around with hammers. I mean, couldn't they have come up with something a little bit more less obvious? But let's not digress. Not yet. We've got the national election to talk about. Let's start with Minnesota. And in my monologue, I walked through all of the insanity of COVID, reminding people that this administration knew early on. There were emails that were found, Walz's emails that were found, that he knew that this was nothing more than a flu that needed to be dealt with, protecting the elderly and therapeutics, and yet he purposely put the COVID patients into the nursing homes. And never forget the morgue that he built in almost excitable planning, which was all just fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. All of the devastation to our elderly, our young. We've either lost them or they are so far behind in school. We have businesses that'll never recover. This was such a purposeful destruction. And the conversation that I've had for a long time was, oh, Walz is going to come out with, but I saved you. No, we're a different society now. We know that this wasn't a savior. This wasn't how you handle what happened in the last 2 years. And then my comment was, we simply ask him to show up and answer and debate Scott Jensen, who a year ago I would not have said had much of a chance in winning. Just this weekend, I traveled from Plymouth Maple Grove out to St. Boniface, just down to Cologne. It reminded me of the days of Trump. You saw not just one Jensen sign, not just one Burke sign. You saw 5, 10, yard after yard. And if you did see Walz, it said Walz failed. One of the most epic, huge campaigns. So Matt, what do you see between Walz and Jensen results next week? Was that poll? This is a
I agree with that completely. It's like in 2020, I worked for Jason Lewis, and I've never seen so many Trump signs in my life. It was traveling the state. It was unbelievable. And, you know, yeah, those people, if a pollster called me, you'd bet I'd mess with them. Why wouldn't I? It's easy. You're giving me a free play here. Of course I'm going to mess with you.
So mm-hmm. You know, I think I've been called once. I've been called once for a poll, and that was a couple of weeks ago when I was in North Dakota. But, you know, we have a uniqueness right now that's driving this election next week. And it's resonating throughout the state. It's resonating throughout the country. And it's what I've been saying for a long time. You can't take 4 years of energy independence, patriotism, nationalism, enthusiasm, jobs, low gas prices. Groceries were reasonable. I shopped today. Everything I touched was at least $1 to $2, $3 more than just the last time that I went shopping. But this, and crime through the ceiling. I was telling a friend of mine earlier, before last summer, Mom and I were driving around in Edina Red, okay? I think it was, must have been maybe October or something like that, maybe earlier than that. For the first time ever in my mom's life, and she's a Democrat, she said when we pulled into the Target in Edina, "I hope you have your gun."
Jeez.
I don't know where that came from. There was a posting on Facebook of a woman leaving the chiropractor, and her son said, "Well, we were lucky to not get carjacked." Mm-hmm. Last winter, my mom lived with me. We were at the McDonald's right off of 55 and 169, just west of that intersection. I'd gone in to get my Diet Coke. There was a obviously very inebriated young gentleman in there arguing for a cab ride. I was trying to leave the McDonald's. And he caught my eye and he started trying to ask me to call, if I would call a cab for him. I saw where this was going because my truck was unlocked with my dear sweet little mother in it. I narrowly kept him from jumping in my truck, and he even made the comment in front of me, "Oh, you think I'm going to carjack you?" You know, these are emboldened people that have taken over the streets.
Well, when Governor Walz and Keith Ellison allow and enable these people, and then our vice president pays for these criminals to get out of jail, I mean, no wonder. It makes perfect sense to me why these criminals are so emboldened and so, why wouldn't you commit a crime? You're not going to be stopped, and if you are, you're in jail for maybe a few hours, and you're let go. You're not going to show up to your next court date, so your bond's going to be revoked. Someone's going to eventually come and get you. And the cycle continues. You go back to jail for maybe a week, maybe two, then you're out again. It's just, you wonder why we're in the state we're in. Mm-hmm.
What the hell else are they going to call us? This is the thing. I know, but this is the thing. If they admit to the crime, so everybody from Hilda Beast to Joy Behard to, you know, the nauseating whatever mainstream media to, you know, Flannelmouth himself, If you acknowledge the problem, then you have to come up with a solution and a policy and something that is going to change. So they can't admit what the hell has happened to their state or this country. Otherwise, they're admitting the epic failure. So it's typical. They're going to have to gaslight just like any toxic individual. That's why I believe when we talked about earlier, and we'll get into the national scene, but that's why I think there's going to be some real key seats, including I think Ellison's going to take a big a whopping hit, and I think Schultz is going to win.
I do too. I mean, just based on the new poll that came out today from KSDP, he's up by, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 7. That's never happened in how many years of an AG candidate in this state running. It, you know, in 2020,
right. Well, let's not jump ahead. Jim Schultz, think of how important this is going to be with Jensen getting in and an actual attorney general. Mm-hmm. Think about what this can mean for the state. I mean, that's why I'm saying we're living in historic times, which I think that I've always been the voice of hope and optimism, but I'm really feeling it right now.
Oh, yeah, me too. Well, and what people don't, a lot of people don't remember was in 2020, we were under Trump. We had great gas prices. I still have a receipt from January 20th of 2020, or 2021, excuse me. It was at $1.87 a gallon.
Yeah.
The day Biden took over, right? And it's been nothing but nonsense and lies ever since. Joe Biden just said, was it yesterday or today, that when he took over, it was $5 a gallon. That's a bold-faced lie. And when Keith Ellison and Jim were on the debate stage at KSDP. Keith Ellison lied, said he didn't support defund the police. That's a bold-faced lie, and no one holds him accountable for it. Thankfully, Jim did a little bit, but it wasn't enough. Certainly, KSDP didn't hold his feet to the fire because they're, you know, they're complicit in all this. It's somebody. This needs to stop. Otherwise, this is it. This is it. And it's very scary because I don't think people realize the mass exodus that is going to happen if we screw this all away. And that's very scary. It is.
I'm not sure I followed that. You're saying that Minnesota as a whole picks up politically what the rest of the country has already... So what you're saying is because these races are close that you don't think that enough of Minnesotans are really paying attention or understanding. Is that correct? Okay. Okay. You aren't, real quick, you aren't on speakerphone or hands-free, are you? Okay, good. I want people to hear you as good as possible. I want people to look at it this way. For the first time... and now I'm normally a nationalist, but I've gotten my feet into Minnesota politics. Scott Jensen has been on this show multiple times. When Scott first came on, he was debunking the COVID numbers. He hadn't even thrown his hat into the race for governor. 6 months ago, I can honestly say a lot of people didn't even know Scott's name when I was out and about and talking about him. Scott's not a career politician. For someone to come in anti-establishment and literally with very little name recognition for a very long time, be able to threaten to remove walls, I think that speaks volumes for what Minnesota has figured out and understood. When you look at May Lors, Cicely Davis, Tyler Kushner said it backwards, sorry. You know, again, these are all anti-establishment. May Lors, Cicely Davis, former Democrats coming in, business people. And they're actually gaining some momentum. The comment from Mitch Berg when Mitch was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said if they're getting close to 30-35%, that's showing good for Minnesota. The Iron Range is turning red. I know from driving around prior to the 2020 election, like I was talking about, the image of all the Jensen signs compared to all the Trump signs. I believe Minnesota has woken up. I believe that we are a different state. And I think a lot of it had to do with how COVID was handled, how tyrannical, how criminal, how insane, because a lot of people, just like myself, when you look back and you make a joke, yeah, do you remember when we were told no more than 10 people? It's not funny anymore. Mm-hmm. And we lost an awful lot. And people are not there. People didn't forget. And people aren't looking and saying, oh, wall saved us. Not when you have polls like that. I think that's pretty remarkable. But the polls tend to lean Democrat-led polls. And you also have, this is kind of the effect that I saw going into 16 and even 2020, there's a lot of people, especially now in this election, within just the last couple of months. Like, look at where Jensen went from. I used to ask people all the time, do you support Scott Jensen? They'd be like, I don't even know who he is. Now he's plastered all over the state, even in the inner city. Okay, so the thing is it's not as if we have just, you know, elevated gas prices. It's not like we have just a little bit of inflation. They're actually, they are warning, we might only have 20 some days less of diesel. Mm-hmm. I mean, these aren't small, and it's not just one little issue. Everything possible, they lit on fire. And that's why I think that there might be, instead of the whatever, the big surprise, the October surprise that they kept saying that was going to come in and, you know, end this election or some big a turn of event that all of a sudden they would be able to take this back. I was just watching while I was waiting for Red to get here. There's a poll on Fox News. 80% of the country thinks the country is out of control. It is out of control because we've never seen this sharp of a turn of a of the destruction nationally and statewide, and it's affecting everybody. So I think, is there any seats besides Jim Scholz that you think that will have a surprise and a real win, or do you think that we're just hoping for a good turnout to at least show that we're close and, you know, give energy next time to try and replace like an Omar? I don't think Omar is going to be taken out.
No, I don't think so either. No. In my opinion, I think Ryan Wilson has a wonderful shot. I mean, he's up in the polls as well. He's a great guy. He understands.
Which district?
He's statewide.
Okay.
Ryan Wilson for auditor. I can't wait to vote for him because he's great. I wish I lived in CD2 because that's going to flip. Tyler is on a roll right now. I mean, they just shoved, I think, another $2 million into his campaign at the final stretch of things. And it's such a relief to see at least one CD doing well. I mean, CD4, where I live, Maylor, she's a great candidate. Her story is next to none. It's unbelievably inspiring and wonderful. And I wish she had more backing and money behind her because she would be a very, very powerful candidate. And, you know, we already have six, eight, and Brian Finstad is going to win again in one. So we have a really good chance to actually get something done. Is it going to be a lot? Is it going to be a sweep? Sorry, no, I don't think so. It would be great. I would be jumping for joy and probably jump off a building. But is it going to happen? Probably not. Oh yeah, especially after everything. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Arizona, for example. I mean, Arizona in 20, or they announced that 5 seconds in. And now, Carrie Lake is up by, I think, double digits. The independent candidate just dropped out and endorsed the Republican candidate for Senate, Blake Masters. I mean, it's happening statewide. Why our state can't pick it up by its bootstraps and do it ourselves? I don't know.
Let's take the wins, like I said. We
Mm-hmm. That's impressive. But yeah, if we hold Pennsylvania, yeah, that would be huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's refreshing. Well, and I'm not a Debbie Downer. I'm not saying that we're going to lose everything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm being a realist and we're not going to sweep it. I'd be over the moon, like I said, if we will, but I have zero doubt that that's going to happen.
We might have some surprises Tuesday night. We've been there before. So we've talked about the national and the House and the Senate. Any other races we want to talk about? I know that we also had a very lively conversation about the 2024. And then you also talked about an article that you were writing about the Green New Deal. So any other national races you want to touch on, Matt?
Months from now, like months, they're all settled. We'll look back. And how
How much more can we realize than now?
I mean, you and I were live texting during it.
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed something. When was the last time that these people were honest? I mean, the Star Tribune. Okay, Sunday, I had a wonderful breakfast at Linda's Cafe up in Rogers. And the Star Tribune, a good friend of mine used to always call it the liberal rag paper. I never looked through the damn thing. But my friend was with, and it said on one article, the importance of reelecting Walz so we can continue with the strong leadership of Minnesota. And then it went into blaming that we've always been on the side of the basically Pelosi's the victim. And once again, we have found these horrible conservatives have found another angle at just attacking. I mean, that's why, given the fact that Minnesota, you know, when you rely on WCCO, KSTP, Care 11, Star Tribune, whatever the hell the paper is in St. Paul, and we can still at least give these stronghold seats a fair run and a voice from non-establishment politicians, I see as optimism. I understand your viewpoint, and we all have our viewpoints. That's what's beautiful. But I see the optimism, and I see the momentum, and I think Minnesota is gradually turning more red. I think that it's going to be a very exciting night on Tuesday night, and I think a very clear message is being sent, at least by us, and that is the big F you to this extreme radical. You know, the Democrat Party not only walked away from itself, but when you look at who's walking away from the, like tonight, the poll was the blacks and the Hispanics. I mean, none of these people want to hear about January 6th anymore. They care about economy, inflation, and crime, period. And none of these fools are talking about it, and that's why the majority of them are going to take a big, huge bath. Now, I want to change the direction a little bit. We also have 2024.
I do. I do as well.
Sometimes I get a few things right. Every once in a while. I'm just saying. Just trying.
Well, no, and like I said before, you know, I'm not saying that we're not going to have some victorious and surprising and, you know, exciting times next Tuesday. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm going to the election party in St. Louis Park, and I hope everyone joins. But I'm trying to be realist and not get people's hopes up, and I hope to God people don't sit on their butts and continue to talk out of their, you know, behinds, saying, oh yeah, you know, everything's so terrible, everything's just awful, and we're all going to hell. No, you need to get out and vote. Otherwise, you need to get out and vote. Otherwise, get off the computer and stop your whining, because I'm tired of hearing it. Get out and do what is right for once. You want a voice? You want to do something for real and actually make a difference in the state? You go out and vote. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it.
Otherwise, she's going to come and hunt your ass down.
Damn right. Oh, man, it just drives me nuts. And you see this stuff all the time online. It's like, you know, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of that. What are you doing? Are you a poll watcher? Have you volunteered for any campaigns? Have you worked for a campaign? Have you made any phone calls? Of course not, because you'd rather sit on the computer and whine. I'm tired of it. Do something about it or shut up.
That's why I read join the program. So we have the 2024 election coming, and that is the next most absolute important election. Now, we had some very colorful conversations, and, you know, I will say that I agree with you, Red, that I hope that Trump waits to declare his campaign after after January. Mm-hmm. I know, Matt, you didn't really have a lot of enthusiasm behind Trump. Should we open up the door, talk a little bit about the 2024 election, and then we can finalize with the article that you're talking about, the Green New Deal and how wonderful that's going?
I know where you live, Matt. It's cute. Well, yeah, he's going to run, and that's...
I believe he is going to wait. Yes, I believe that he's going to wait. Now, you did not believe that, you did not think that he would get reelected. Yes. No, if, but in 2024, if he runs, you did not think that he would win the election. Let's remember, polls predicted 1% chance of Trump winning.
Mm-hmm. That was the best night of my life.
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. But here's my thing. Hold on. Here's my thing. It doesn't matter if it's Trump, if it's DeSantis, if Carrie Lake decides to throw a rat in the ring. It doesn't matter. They're all exactly. They're all going to call him or her a terrorist, a white supremacist, an evil, awful, you know, whatever, whatever. But yes, I understand to a point that Trump is very polarizing because he sometimes says some really stupid stuff. So do I. That's why, you know, I'm human. But, you know... He actually, it is. Well, and,
but why, okay, but why is the gaslighting so obvious? Because the destruction is so deep and so obvious, and it's, that's what, but okay, but stick with this, right? Right, but stick. I understand. I get that. That's what I've been saying. Now when we're headed right, but when we're headed to 2024, and when you're saying if someone can do what Trump did, and your belief is that, and I understand this, that the, you know, people, I think you believe that there's the division between the Republican Party. There's so many people that don't like Trump. Mm-hmm. However, We've now had the most dangerous 2 years in this country, where there's even common sense Democrats that they're not going to say anything. And I don't mean within the, I don't mean common sense Democrat leaders. I'm talking about common Democrats in this country that will be voting, which are going to create the same type of tsunami that happened in 16, because we have never seen the likes of this destruction.
No.
We have Democrat family. We have Democrat, Republican. Do you know this was the analogy that I gave the other day when we were talking. It was one thing when they locked up the schools and the kids had to sit at home. Next thing happens is when soccer mom starts understanding transgenderism. Well, now you got transgenderism drag shows or whatever bullshit or whatever. Well, now you got schools that are talking about they can, the teachers can help with transgender transition without the parents finding out about it. Mm-hmm. They have literally gone so batshit crazy that's why I say 80% of the country can't stand what's going on. And then you can't hide from it. You know, God willing, if you got your job and you can still put enough gas in and afford to get to the gas station, buying groceries. I mean, all these things, it's not just one thing. And then if you try and turn on the TV and you want to watch your fearless leaders, I brought it up in the monologue. What the hell does Kamala Harris do? She brags about a goddamn yellow bus. Okay? What does Biden do? Biden falls asleep while being asked if he's running in 2024. What the hell are the Pelosi's doing? They're running around in their underwear chasing each other with hammers. Okay? We haven't seen the likes of the ineptness followed up with the destruction of this country. We are living in unique times. There's a reason why Donald Trump kept doing his rallies. And I believe that people are craving, and that's why a lot of these positions in Minnesota did get the attention that they did. Donald Trump opened up the world politically, meaning we finally had someone that talked to us like he's sitting at a table having a Diet Coke or a beer, whatever your choice is, and instead of self-bloviated and self-important, just BS being crammed down us, he actually talked to us about what had we never heard before and what we want to hear again, which is pride, nationalism, patriotism, making America great again. That's what drove Trump's numbers. That's why, you know, he overwhelmed and we overwhelmed them in 16. They had 4 years of planning. They had COVID and they feared the hell out of us. We're not afraid anymore, and people are walking away in droves from the Democrat Party. Now, I can see maybe DeSantis, but as you said, Red, DeSantis has to stay in Florida.
He needs to stay the hell in Florida, simply because it's, well, mainly for personal reasons. Well, yeah, if Minnesota goes to hell, I'm going to Florida, and I want a good governor. And DeSantis is the guy. And I, you know, I thought about moving to South Dakota with Kristi Noem. She's my girl and I love her. But it's cold. So I want to go to Florida.
North Dakota's colder. North Dakota.
Oh, North Dakota. Oh, yeah. But, you know, he's a wonderful statesman. He's very well spoken. I give him a lot of credit for that. But can he actually do the job that's put forth? I don't think so, because like I said before, every single Republican that decides to run is not going to be put on this pedestal and actually treated fairly. The liberal media and the media at large is going to destroy them. They're going to destroy their reputation. They're going to destroy their families, just like they did with Trump. So, and the biggest thing that's going for us is, just like you said, what we've experienced with the horrors of the last few years under Biden. It's, you know, I have a Ford Fusion. It's over $80 to fill my damn gas tank. It was $25 for a full tank of gas when Trump was in office. That's bullshit. So, I mean, you've now seen stuff in the schools with hypersexualization of children and CRT and all of that stuff you didn't see before COVID, because a little bit of the good thing about it was the parents were allowed to see what the children were being taught. Right? So you don't, it's hard to say that it was a good thing. It needed to happen, though. It needed to happen. Because now more mothers are going to school boards and they're speaking out and they're sick of it. So now they're going to go out and vote. You've been in the swamp too long, honey.
I was going to say. Well, here's the problem though. Trump's biggest problem coming into office, I believe, is that he trusted too many people.
Oh God, yeah.
He didn't fully understand the depth of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's a reason that he is still doing his rallies. I've said this for
He's right.
Well, you know, one thing I can say about politics as of the last couple of years, we've all learned an awful lot. We've all analyzed. We all know what a horrible White House correspondent is now. How many of us actually paid attention to the White House correspondent? I didn't even know. I'll be brutally honest. I've been doing this since 2010. I don't think until Kayleigh McEnany was a White House correspondent, I didn't pay attention. You try and watch these toddlers up there rambling with their mumbling, bumbling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, voter fraud, energy independence, all these things.
Well, yeah.
Okay, but I'm saying I know, but you're from the establishment. Right, but you're from, I know, but, I mean, but you're from, I mean, you've spent time in D.C. What I'm talking about is the voting public. The voting public that is watching this, we're a changed society. We have witnessed and seen and learned and understood way more than we did prior to 16 because of all the events that happened and all of the things from COVID, lockdowns, the voter fraud, now all the insanity of the left. So what I'm saying is, you know, wanting somebody that can do, I think Trump did a hell of a lot considering the fact that he fought within his own party. He was under constant barrage. I mean, it was 24/7 newsfeed for the first time in my mother's entire life of 80-some years old. She dropped the F-bomb on Trump one day. And I've never heard my mom drop the F-bomb. That was the power of the media, okay? But we would take that very direct blue collar beer drinking mouth back any day than the dribbling, falling asleep, walking off stage, talking to dead people. You know, people, it's going to be hard for them to admit, but they will walk in and they will vote. What is one of the number one things that people will be voting on is their pocketbooks. Okay?
Economy and crime right now. I mean, not abortion, not what January 6th, like those idiot leftists want to think that our minds are filled with. No, it's crime and the economy, stupid. Very simple.
And what I was mentioning when we were doing...
Wow. That's good.
Yeah, we finally got to the soccer moms.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in the suburbs and they're hard to get.
I'm going to read. We've got a couple of listeners that have chimed in. Joy says it is a prophetic that there will be a red tsunami. Karen Feigum says, amen, go vote. Karen also mentions 100% Bella. I think that must have been my my beliefs about Trump in 2024. Joe Bogan says, what makes you believe the same voter fraud of 2020 won't happen again? Like I was saying, in 2016, the polls, nobody took Trump seriously. I know that after the 16 election, because I talked to a lot of people, I heard countless people that said that they'd never voted before ever in their entire life. Democrats that said that they secretly pulled the lever for Trump. There was an awakening of the silent majority. That awakening is happening all over again.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's something very simple, and a lot of Minnesotans don't understand. We don't have an auditing process in Minnesota. We just don't. If somebody wanted to audit 2020, we don't have the functionality or capability of doing that. The Senate could have done something, and they sat on their butts, and they did nothing. So... voter fraud, more than likely, yes, it happens. It's probably going to happen in this election. But, you know, what we can do is quit whining online, go out and vote, become a poll observer and or an election judge. You can see it firsthand actually happening. You have a voice to say something about it and stop it. Just saying. Well, and like I said before, you know, there's ways to stop this crap other than whining online. Do something about it. Yes, there will be fraud. At this point, we don't have the capability of actually going through and processing all of this election stuff right now. If everybody gets in, I sure hope Kim Crockett does her job and looks at all of the numbers, redoes the voter rolls, very consistently, so we don't have dead people still on our rolls. That's a big problem. People moving out of state still on our voter rolls that are allowed to still vote in this state. That's ridiculous, and that needs to stop. We don't have that system in place right now. Why? Because the Democrats have been ruling us for over 50 plus years. So we have this opportunity right now to actually go out and vote and actually be a part of the change rather than, you know, sitting online whining about it. Mm-hmm. I got two last year, or in 20. Mm-hmm. Yep. You got some for the primary, didn't you, too? Yeah. This primary, this past primary. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. I know, but it when Jensen wins, we will know that this country is starting to turn. That's the state of Minnesota, which I have a lot of faith.
I would love to be proven wrong. I would love to be proven wrong. I would love it. Yeah. Prove me wrong.
I want to answer Joe's question again. He's saying we voted in 2020 stuff. Now you say could easily happen again. No, what I'm saying is that there's a change overall in this country. There are people leaving in droves from the Democrat Party. God rest my mother's soul. She was a lifelong Democrat. Do you know, guys, that she literally started asking me, what is wrong with Biden? What's wrong with Pelosi? What's wrong with Kamala Harris? Why is he doing the things that he's doing? Now, she never asked those things in the years before, and she was never really driven to politics. She just voted party. Mm-hmm. But there were things that were so disturbing that he was doing that she finally said, I'm going to vote independent. So, Joe, that you're chiming in on our chat, I understand your frustration in thinking that it's going to happen all over in 2024 again.
But don't give up.
Don't give up, because here's the thing. We aren't living in historical times. We have got a former president that is holding rallies, and in real time, he's not reminding you. Do you remember when gas was $4 a gallon? Do you remember when a dozen eggs do you remember when eggs were only $2 a dozen, but now they're $5? Do you remember when gas was $2 a gallon, but now it's $5? He doesn't have to remind us. We're living it in real time, juxtaposed to where he can say, but you know, what can I do? He can open up drilling. Drill, baby, drill. North Dakota currently only has 30-some drilling rigs. Oklahoma and Texas, we are draining the reserve. These are fixable problems. Who brought energy independence to the forefront? Trump. When you started seeing Fox News actually going out to drilling locations in Texas and talking to the workers, you know, people finally started to understand, where the hell does crude come from? What is the correlation between when crude goes through the ceiling at $100? Why are you paying so much at the gas pump? So we are an educated society that knows a whole lot more, and we will not take another self-important, bloviated, ass-wagging establishment ever again. And I believe that Trump is a divine intervention. That's why he is still where he is at. And that's why his rallies bring as many people as they do. And that's why I believe that we are hungry and we are ready for what I always say, where is my God? Where is my country? And where is my leader? And they sure aren't running around in underwear and hammers.
Well, and to go back on your point, Joe, I mean, I understand that it's frustrating, and I'm frustrated too. I was disgusted. I was actually out in the streets with a friend of mine, Walter, that a lot of people know. We made a choice. We could sit at home and sulk and be mad about ourselves, or we could get out and do something. And we decided there's no more voting to do. Let's go do something. Let's see if this makes a difference. And did it? It did. To some degree, it got a lot of people engaged and excited, and people started, you know, they're still involved today because of that. They got so pissed off of what happened in 2020. They're still involved today. Now they're door knocking, they're making calls, and they're making the effort necessary to win on Tuesday. So it starts from the bottom. But no, we're going to socialist nations and people that want to saw our heads off to ask for oil. That makes no damn sense when we could do it here.
Well, there's permits. Let me clarify. There's permits, but the oil companies don't have the confidence backing with the finances and the government and the administration in place. I worked exactly right. Right. Which we ran out of time to be able to talk about the article that you are talking about, the Green New Deal, which of course that, you know, is an epic failure to even try and talk about the Green New Deal or an electric car or a solar panel. It's just all further distraction. But Matt, you've been a great guest tonight. I want to give you a closing point because we are up at the top of the 1 hour. It's a 1 hour show. But thank you so much. You've been a joy to have on the program tonight.
Thank you, Matt.
I hope you promote the show, please. Awesome. You have a great night. Thank you.
I'll talk to you later, Matt.
Thanks. Bye. Red, our technology worked.
Yeah.
Our chat room worked. The recording now worked. We're on Facebook Live. I got to believe that I'm going to take this as a big success. And I really
haven't been banned yet.
I've watched you for a long time on Facebook. I know I kind of hounded you asking if you'd listen to the show. And then when I put up that I needed a co-host, because the show is a lot of work to do by yourself, and I really appreciate that you stepped up and
you
made it out here, even though navigation fought you like hell to get here.
It was terrible. Don't trust Apple Maps.
Anyways, do you have any closing thoughts? And then I'm going to wrap it up.
Yeah, real quick. So back in 2020, I was working for Jason Lewis, and one of the biggest things that he said over and over and over again all across the state, that this was the most important election of your lifetime. Well, I got news for you guys. This is the most important election of your lifetime. We have now seen the inflation, the evil, and the destruction, what the left has done since they have been in power. We can see that now. Our state has been shut down. Our lives have been pretty much ruined. Our businesses have been destroyed. It's time to make it happen. Please vote on November 8th. Thank you.
Couldn't say it any better than you. I said it in the monologue. I mean, we've got these fools running around doing the most crazy things in the world. And I'm just going to close out by saying, when you wake up and you look out to this wonderful country that Trump made great again, we were a patriotic country raising our flag in support and enthusiasm. We had jobs. We had money in our pockets. Our 401ks and our retirements weren't gutted. Mm-hmm. How many people have you heard talking about how much they've lost? You didn't go to the grocery store and absolutely cringe. Are you going to buy the guacamole, the salsa? Hell no. You're just getting the basics, man. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking twice if you're going to go out and go treat yourself at a restaurant. Are you taking vacations? Mm-hmm. Are you excited about the economy in the future? Hell no. You're just hoping that we're not running out of diesel so we don't have empty shelves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm stocking up at Costco. When you're saying this is the most important election, it is the most important election. And I see optimism because there is an energy in this country, and it started the minute Biden started to talk. It happened when the gas pumps started to rise, and then all of the perverse, criminal, social attack on our children. When you attack our children, you're going to wake up the soccer mom. When you attack the backbone of this country, which is the energy, the oil, which drives the inflation, transportation, and the cost of food, you are destroying the livelihood of the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and the American dream. And they have crushed it. They've killed everything. And that's why you got to get out and vote. And we got to fight, baby, fight. And with that, I'm going to say good night. God bless America. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Red. Thank you, Matt. And ciao for now. Oh, audacity.